Dr. John joins me here at Jazz FM. Welcome, sir.
How you doing?
I'm doing very well, sir. I'm really enjoying the new album, Skedat Dedat, Spirit of Satch. I've been to New Orleans, and I have experienced how much he is loved in that there city, honoured and tributed all the time, and you've done a tribute album to him. Apparently, this came to you in a dream, is that right?
Right, and, you know, I had just met him at Joe Glaze's office and when we was booked by a show, but I never thought Lewis was going to come to me in a dream. It just never seemed possible or anything. Just, but weirder things than that's happened.
Indeed they have. Been reading a magnificent interview with you in our Jazzwise magazine over here. What a great and colourful life you've had. Have there been points in your life where you look back on it and you think, how did I ever make it here?
Well, yeah, I wonder about some things that always stays in my brain cell. It's maybe not hipper things to bring up, but my brain does it.
I don't see you as a person who might be afraid of telling real good stories about your life and being honest and true about them. That's what you do. That's what you've always done.
Hey, I try to be honest and truthful to me as I could be, and that's a good thing, so I could be that to the world.
First of all, I wanted to ask you, I mean, you are a legend in the context of New Orleans music and the geographical music imprint that it's made. Are you still very much involved in the city? Are you living nearby, or do you get yourself involved with what happens in NOLA?
Yeah. I try to keep involved, because politicians is not my favorite people. They are a problem always to the world, and that's not a good thing.
do you live near New Orleans or in the city?
Yeah.
You do? Yeah. I mean, I've been in the city, and you sometimes come across players in bars, and all the time people kind of go, hey, that sounds like Dr. John. You know, you've left that legacy of people sounding like you in New Orleans. It's just that imprint that you've made. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I think people should sound like themselves. That's the first thing I think. And after that, they always seem to sound like a little bit like a Alan Toussaint, a James Booker, or somebody. But I don't think of them as doing any of that. I think of people as just what and who they are. And it's like Huey Smith always tells me on the phone, he says, yeah, no, for the little bit of lace I get paid for all the hit songs he wrote. And it's pathetic, just that the amount of stuff that you do just doesn't pay what it's supposed to, and it's not a good thing. And all of the people that's affected by that, and whether it's the Professor Longhairs, whether it's the all just on and on and on and on, the Joe Texas, the Earl King, these people left long legacies of stuff that and that's a problem, right, Sarah?
Definitely.
Sarah Morrow is here. You produced Dr. John's latest album. Sarah, how did you conceive to go about this? It's very different to the last album, Lockdown, which was involved the chap from the Black Keys,
they're an hour back, right?
Yeah, so tell me how you went about this, because it's a great kind of contemporary interpretation of the spirit of Louis Armstrong.
Well, it's what was interesting about producing this project was that because it was something that was so personal to Dr. John, it was very personal to him. As you said, Louis came to him in a dream. There's a deep connection there between with his father and Louis Armstrong. So it was really important that first of all, I listen to Dr. John and I try and get inside of his head and have a clear understanding of his vision. You know, sometimes when you produce, you have a vision for the artist or a vision for the song, but this was different. So, so there was, I mean, what was great about it was we were on the road together. So I was able to really get to know him and learn all about him. And through this experience, we were able to bring his vision to life, you know.
What's been one of the outstanding things that you've learned from being with such a great musician and seasoned performer?
Wow, that's a great question. I think, first of all, I think Dr. John has given me a lot of belief in myself, you know, and knowing what I've learned about him and about his life and his history, and the fact that he continues to push forward despite the odds and despite the challenges, and that's very, very inspiring.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's an album about the music of Louis Armstrong, and the trumpet players you've involved are all mainly from New Orleans. Terrence Blanchard, Nicholas Payton, who's a really interesting player to me, yeah. And also James Andrews from the Andrews Clan. You know, yeah. Did you choose them specifically because they'd have a better understanding of what you were trying to do?
Well, I felt that a lot of these guys, especially Nicholas and Terrence, would cover a lot of bases.
Yeah.
I figured 12, his spirit is very connected to mine because of being business partners with his grandpa. And that there's something about all of those things that was in the past that it's connected to the present.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time narrowing down the list of trumpeters because when we first started talking about it, I mean, the list was, you can imagine, for Dr. John, and of course everybody wants to work with him, but the list was enormous. So he knew some specific people that he wanted, and then other things were based around the arrangements. I did the arrangements, so it was like, well, who works, you know, who works for this? Like Arturo, it was... You know, he's fantastic too, so that was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Because Dr. John's worked with him before.
I think that Arturo is one of those guys that's aware of the birth of jazz in a lot of things that was part of the whole that you gotta roll with. Because he's a spiritually hip guy. I know he's upset about something that we just happened, but you know what? I love this guy, and we'll make it up.
Well, too, I think he can really relate to probably Louis's struggles, you know, having been from Cuba and what he experienced there, and I'm sure what Louis Armstrong experienced him in his entire life, you know, so.
Yeah. There's a little place up in the Treme called Starlight Lounge, and on a Wednesday, the Treme brass band are in there, and it's like you're walking in on Louis Armstrong.
Yeah.
They keep that vibe alive.
Yeah.
Do you get around and get into some of these places?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the guys that always been around seems to still be around. Uncle Lionel is one of the few that I love that fact that he had himself stuffed to be at his wake. I love people like that.
Oh my God, that is like so deliciously morbid somehow.
It's so New Orleans.
It's so New Orleans.
That is brilliant. Oh, that's incredible. Mac the Knife, you reinvented that in a really great contemporary way. And actually, Blue Note recording artist Jason Moran has just done the music of Fats Waller in a similar type of very soulful, modern style. Whose idea was it to contemporize it like this? And was there a sort of desire to make it appeal to a younger demographic, a younger audience, to open up the music a bit more, perhaps?
Well, when Dr. John first approached me about the project and started talking to me about it, he really originally had hired me as an arranger. And then it just sort of grew into everything else. But the one thing he said, he just kept saying, "Sarah, I want you to make it fresh, make it fresh, make it fresh." And he was basing it on a record that I had did in 2006 with, you know, Robert Glasper, Derek Hodge, the Experiment. So it was the first time they had recorded together. So he heard that record. And that night he called me and said, "I want you to work with me." But he's always moving forward. That's what's beautiful about Dr. John. He's not looking back. And what's the point if, you know, those songs were already done great by the original artist, so why are we going to just do them the same way again?
You've got a guy emceeing a hip-hop artist in the middle who spits some hip-hop bars, as they say. Is that a music that you've embraced, Dr. John? Do you like the kind of energy and the communication in it?
I think all music is special when you take it and do something special with it. That's what I feel. And I it's like I love Tell Mary the Years. I love what, you know, Mike Laird does. They're two completely off-the-hook people, but they do something very cool.
They're both true artists, too.
Yeah.
And what they're talking about is something deep. They're not just saying, baby, baby, and all those things, you know. So.
And some great singers on the album, Bonnie Raitt and Anthony Hamilton, who's a fine southern-sounding R&B singer, added his weight to Sometimes I Feel Like a Motherless Child. And that song resonates with quite a lot of us, doesn't it, really?
Definitely.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, I think that's a great song. And I feel that the vibe of that is very near and dear to my spirit.
Yeah, one thing, what was really interesting, and this is from not just a production standpoint, but from an arrangement standpoint, was, you know, sometimes Mac and I, Dr. John and I, sometimes, of course, we would, you know, butt heads because there were times when I had to push him out of his comfort zone. And it was a real delicate balance to understanding, you know, you have to understand someone's history and their past to be able to know how far they're going to be willing to go, you know, and that was really interesting.
I would suggest that's the least he would have expected of you, is to push him out of his comfort zone. Something
hey, that's a good thing, though, because any time that Sarah did that, it would cause something to happen that I wasn't expecting. That, wow, after I got a piece of it, wow, it was opened another door. And that's the spirit of what is fresh about this record. And that's something special from her.
A lot of talk about music, but being from New Orleans, I know that food comes first, right?
I think so.
I'd like to know, what is Dr. John's favorite food sustenance, Southern style?
Well, I love stuff that nobody here would eat, whether it's a raccoon, whether it's a squirrel, whether it's... I love things, alligator. I just love stuff like this. And I love to make a squirrel gumbo with squirrels and crawligators and everything in it that makes me feel spiritually hip. And that's still... The best things that are important to me. And I love cooking.
He's a good cook, too.
I learned a lot from my Aunt Canary, and she was very hip. She made all her own, like, they were called stocks. And she made every stock from scratch. She didn't make any one thing like that didn't start And that was like, wow. I loved the way she cooked, and I tried to learn everything I could from her.
I think the wildest thing I've ever had is shrimp and gator sausage cheesecake.
Ooh.
Up at Jacquemot's in New Orleans. Loved it. It sounds on paper to a European like hell on a stick, but it was beautiful. It was a beautiful thing, and you can feel the energy coming out of that food.
Before we went into the studio for this record, Dr. John said, I want to take you to the swamps. I want you to experience what the swamps are. So we went down to visit some friends of his who are actually living in the swamps. And for dinner, they served us squirrel brains. And it's a delicacy, and this is what he wanted me to experience. And they put the skull in your mouth. You have to crack the skull with your teeth. And anyway, I'm not sure it was quite as delicious as your cheesecake, but definitely got a different vibe happening.
He's definitely enjoying you recounting that. Sure. You know that they have an entire TV program predicated on things like that called I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, where they feed people sort of brains and bits of insects and stuff. And it just sounds completely normal. Brilliant.
It's off the hook and a half.
He loves it, though.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you from, you know, all the way from Grigri right up to date. What an incredible career and what an incredible life. And thank you, sir, for taking time out to come into Jazz FM, Dr. John.
Thank you very much for having us.
And thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you, Chris. It's been a pleasure.